Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Going Old School Show, live on blogtalkradio.com. It is Wednesday, February 1st, 2023. Joe and John here for you. Obviously, a lot to talk about every Wednesday as a Super Bowl matchup is set. We'll recap the championship weekend a little later on in the show, maybe with our next guest. Like I said, Super Bowl 57 is set, and why not? Hey, you know what? Let's go out to the site of where Super Bowl 57 will take place on February 12th, and that is the Grand Canyon State, Arizona, with our Wednesday weekly guest. He is a co-host of a weekly Hall of Fame radio show on Sirius XM NFL Radio, and he's the Arizona Cardinals and NFL reporter for Phoenix Sports. Mr. Howard Balls has joined us here on the Going Old School Show. Howard, John and Joe here. Thank you for your time, sir. How are you doing this evening?
Doing well, thanks. I didn't realize the Super Bowl was here this year. Thanks for letting me know that. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah. No, great being with you. Town is looking forward to the Eagles and the Chiefs coming to town. It's interesting. The Chiefs started their season in the regular season here in Arizona playing the Cardinals in week one. And now, of course, they'll end the season here in the Super Bowl. So pretty interesting. So it should be a fun week coming up next week.
Yes, and Howard, speaking of the Chiefs and the Eagles, and you penned on your phoenixsports.com just a day ago, one of your columns, about how health and strength in the trenches are really two main ingredients that we talked about all season long, and it's kind of evident with the two teams that are going to be representing the AFC and NFC come Sunday the 12th.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. Maybe it's not remarkable, I don't know, but it seems remarkable that you could go through a season and in a 17-game season and be as virtually – now, granted, you're always going to have some injuries. I mean, you can't avoid anything. You know, you can't avoid them to a degree. But to be where these two teams are now with – you know, the Eagles only have three players on injured reserve, and none of them are starters. The Eagles only have six, and one of them is a starter who's been out all year, Derek Barnett on the defensive line. And especially on the offensive line where, you know, everyone talks about these great offenses, you know, led by Jalen Hurts, led by Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, the head coach, obviously, Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen, you know, who do all the, you know, a lot of the offensive work there. Those offensive lines for both teams, it's pretty incredible that each team, it's almost identical. Each team has only lost three starts the entire season on the offensive line. And each has used the same backup to play those positions. So each one was at two positions. For the Chiefs, it was left guard and right guard. And for the Eagles, it was left tackle and right tackle. And they missed, you know, one start on the left side, two on the right side. Oh, I'm sorry, the Chiefs were two on the left side at guard and one at right guard. The Eagles were one at left tackle and two at right tackle. And one guy played those three starts, Nick Allegretti for the Chiefs and Jack Driscoll for the Eagles. So that's it. Six offensive linemen played, you know, started games for those two teams this year. And there's no denying it. And I know the injury deniers will, but there's no denying that that's a big part of the success of those two teams. And one thing I wrote was, everybody, you know, talks about, and for good reason, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and, you know, Isaiah Pacheco and how he's done as a rookie running back and the receivers that they have, even though they had some injuries, obviously. And, of course, you know, the Eagles with Miles Sanders at running back and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, obviously, a quarterback, and Devontae Smith. Everyone talks about those guys. Hardly anybody talks about the offensive lines. Mm-hmm. And without those lines doing what they have done basically all season, that is a big part of why those teams have success. And, of course, in what I wrote, I compared it to the Cardinals. And so I had to get my little digs in to all the injury deniers out there. And so, but, you know, when you have, like the Cardinals did, 10 different offensive line combinations and 12 different players start games, it's awfully difficult to have any consistency on offense. And with the Eagles and the Chiefs, it's not just the offensive line. It's all throughout the roster in terms of the number of players that have started all the games or started at least 15. It's a pretty big number. And so you have to have health in this league to be successful over the course of a long season. And both these teams have that in droves.
Oh, besides a big game somewhere out in Arizona this week, how is the Cardinals head coaching search going?
Well, it's hard to tell. Well, right now, I mean, they were hoping against hope, you know, they were hoping that they'd be able to convince Sean Payton to come to Arizona. Obviously that did not happen. They were trying to get an interview with DeMeco Ryans. That, of course, did not happen. And then this week they added new names to the interview list after some of the guys that had been on it previously. And so everyone in Arizona is just wondering what the heck is going on here, because they had a second interview with Brian Flores last week. And so he was kind of the leader in the clubhouse at the beginning, because I think a lot of people didn't know if they had a real shot at Sean Payton. And there's the New England connection between him and Monty Austinfort, the new general manager. So everyone kind of thought that, you know, if they didn't get Payton, they would pivot to Brian Flores. And by the way, they also interviewed Frank Reich, who's been hired by the Carolina Panthers. And so now it's been all quiet on the Flores front. We don't know if he still might be a guy that they favor, but they just want to talk to these new names in the mix. And it was interesting that they put in a request for Mike Kafka, the Giants offensive coordinator, who they could have interviewed last week if they wanted to, because the Giants season was over. And then they also put in requests for both Bengals coordinators, Brian Callahan on offense and Lou Anarumo on defense. So they're going through those interviews. You would suspect that maybe that will be the end of the interviews and that they can concentrate on doing their hire. I do wonder this. We're already at the end of this week. As you guys, you know, the Super Bowl is here, and I'm wondering if with the Super Bowl here and all the attention to that, whether they're just kind of laying low and figuring we'll name our head coach after the Super Bowl. It's not, you know, a lot of people get urgent and, pal, you got to start doing it now. You got to be able to line up, you know, your coaching staff and all that. Well, you know, there's coaches out there. I mean, there's only a certain number you're going to be able to go after anyway, and I don't know if you're that much behind the eight ball now if you would hire, you know, a coach at the end of this week as opposed to the beginning of the week after the Super Bowl. It's only about 10 days. So I don't know that this is true. It just seems that maybe that's the sense that I have, because I don't know if they were to name a coach next week, do they want to interrupt all the Super Bowl hoopla to do that? I know teams have done it in the past, but maybe not in the city where the Super Bowl is being played. So who knows? Maybe it'll go exactly the opposite. I'm saying they will hire someone next week, but everyone's just guessing in terms of who their favorite guy is at this point.
Howard Balzer joining us on the Going Old School show. You reach him on Twitter at HBalzer, B-A-L-Z-E-R, 721. Howard, obviously Sean Payton went to Denver, and I'm a little surprised that Dan Quinn remained defensive coordinator in Dallas. I thought that this is the year to come out. He had two interviews in Arizona. How are you surprised, or are you surprised that he went back to Dallas and stayed as a defensive coordinator?
No, I'm not. I wasn't that much surprised because of this. I think that especially when you've been through this ringer before as a head coach and you know what happens, you know kind of the way the business is. I mean, he's a team that obviously got his team to a Super Bowl, and then Kyle Shanahan left as the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And I think took some assistance with him, and the Falcons were never the same after that. And then a few years later, you know, Dan Quinn lost his job. And the Falcons haven't done a whole lot since then. And so I'm sure he's looking for the right fit. And it could very well be that he just looked at the team, you know, the Cardinals, the Broncos, whatever, and said, you know, I have a good job here. I'm with a team that's won 12 games the last couple of years. I love my defensive talent. We know we're still going to be good on defense. And so I think he just figured, I've still got time to be a head coach. And I think, personally, I think it's a smart move for some of these guys to take, because you want to go to the right situation. And I think that, you know, obviously there's always reasons why teams are looking for a head coach. And the Broncos have some issues. Obviously the Texans do. You know, DeMeco Ryans, boy, he's going to find out pretty quickly this isn't the San Francisco 49ers he's going to. And just, you know, just because he played in Houston doesn't mean that this is going to have the happiest of endings. I hope it does for him, for his sake, because he seems like a great guy and a heck of a leader and a good coach. But, man, you're also counting on Nick Caserio to get you the players that you need to be successful. And he is hardly proven as a general manager. And so I think with Quinn, he looked at it and saying, I've got a good situation here. Don't know if it's the right fits, and I'm going to stay and then just see what opens up next year, maybe the year after, who knows. But I, like I said, I think it's smart for potential head coaches to do that because, you know, obviously there's no guarantee no matter where you go that you're going to win. And you know that within 2 or 3 years, if you're not winning, you're gone. And so why not stay in a good situation and try to get to the best spot possible when you do take that next leap into being a head coach for Dan Quinn's sake. And I think first-time guys probably should look at it that way too, but I realize that's a hard thing to do if you have a team that really wants you and is interested and you're going, there's only 32 of these. But, man, you also know that you just look around the league and how many coaches don't last a year or 2 years or things like that. And you better go to a team that has a quarterback. And that might be something Dan Quinn was looking at also. You know, Russell Wilson, you know, can you rejuvenate him? Perhaps. Obviously, Sean Payton believes that he can, but Dan Quinn can't do that on his own. He's got to have the right offensive coordinator and the right offensive coaches to get that to happen, and to have the right personnel around him. And as I've said, you know, guys, I've said this right from day one with the Cardinals, that I expect. And no one will talk about it here in Arizona. It's really amazing how no one talks about it here in Arizona. It's like they tippy-toe around Kyler Murray. Now they don't totally do that. You know, a lot of people are quick to call him out, you know, for not being a leader, or call him out for, you know, just the way he handles himself at times and all those things. But no one is connecting the dots and saying, hey, maybe there's some coaches that just don't want to be the head coach of a team with Kyler Murray as the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that's not personal. It's not only because of some of these other things that people will talk about, but because he's injured. He's not going to be available until October at the earliest, and that's just the practice. And then there's that question of sustainability for a quarterback that a huge part of his game is being able to run the football. And he's had 6 injuries in 4 seasons, with 5 of them to his legs. And so I truly believe that is something that a coach is, you know, will consider before taking that job. And I said it from the start, but like I said, I'm surprised that I don't see more of it discussed here in the Phoenix area. And it probably won't be discussed until some coach comes out or somebody leaks a story that, well, this guy didn't pick the Cardinals because of Kyler Murray. Then all of a sudden that'll be, you know, what'll hit the fan then.
So, Howard, how do you feel this week, you know, today with the announcement of what some will arguably call the GOAT at quarterback of Tom Brady retiring? Do you believe it's official? Do you think he's done for good?
I would think so. You hate to say never, never say never, because you do never know. But having been through what he went through last year, obviously, and he announces his retirement on the same date, which is pretty odd in itself. Yeah. And then going through the season that he did, mentally, physically, and all the things that were going on with the team in his life and all that, it sure feels that if there was any doubt in his mind that he would have waited, and he would have waited maybe a little longer before he retires. There's really no rush. I mean, it's February 1st, the new league year doesn't start until the middle of March. So we're 6 weeks away from that. So there was no urgency to make this announcement. So that's what makes me sense that this is really it for him. But who knows? I mean, you never know. But I think he realizes, and I think that, you know, there was one report that it was either going to be the Buccaneers or retire, and I don't know if that came from just a feeling he had or whether there was actually some, you know, behind the scenes reaching out and found out that perhaps there really weren't any teams interested. I do wonder this. You know, there had been one story potentially linking Sean Payton to Carolina with the thought that, who, maybe, because there was that whole story last year with Sean Payton and Tom Brady going to the Dolphins. And so you wonder if the Panthers had been in the mix for this, that with Payton potentially going there, that maybe that would have been something that would have intrigued him. But we also know that the Panthers hired Frank Reich last week. So it wasn't exactly like this. Sean Payton made his decision yesterday, or at least it came out that the decision was made. But there was no, I mean, it wasn't like Tom Brady was going to go to Denver. And so, yeah, it, like I said, long answer to a short question, but it sure feels like this is probably it for him. But like I said, you never say never, you never know. And probably there will still be people bringing it up from time to time. But this seems like it for Brady.
Arizona Cardinals, an NFL reporter for Phoenix Sports, joins us. Mr. Howard Balzer on the Going Old School Show. Howard, you talk about Brady, and I know it's a slippery slope. You call it rhetorical, but you've seen a lot of great quarterbacks in your many years covering the NFL, and we can argue it back and forth. But where does Brady rank amongst them, in your opinion? I'm not asking you to do a 1 to 10, but is it tough to grade quarterbacks from generations and years past and have them greater than them than the ones before them and so forth and so on? But where does TB12 rank in your quarterbacks of all time and how great he actually is?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think there's a lot of people, and I wrote this. It's funny. You know, I do Lindy's Pro Football Magazine each year. And they came out with a tribute to Tom Brady magazine last season, which Lindy Davis told me just tanked. And obviously a big part of it was he ended up deciding not to retire. But having said that, I wrote a column in there that everyone just automatically says that he's the greatest of all time, no debate, and we shouldn't even discuss it. And what I wrote is that's ridiculous. To say you shouldn't debate it. And because in my mind, it's all based on the fact that his teams have won so much. Well, does that automatically make a guy the greatest of all time because his teams, you know, won a lot of Super Bowls? I mean, Was, you know, Charles Haley is, you know, I think I believe he was on 5 Super Bowl winners as a pass rusher. Does that make Charles Haley the greatest pass rusher of all time because he was on more Super Bowls than any other pass rusher? I don't hear anybody saying that. I know that's not being a quarterback, but let's apply the same standard to the discussion. And I say this, guys. I mean, he's obviously among, and I always love the comment that Bum Phillips, a former coach, obviously, of the Houston Oilers, said when he was asked, when he had Earl Campbell as his running back, and someone asked him if he was the best running back he's ever seen and the greatest of all time. And Bum said in his Texas drawl, which I can't imitate, well, I don't know about – he says, I don't know about that, but he's among them. And here's the way I put it. If you were starting a team today and you knew everything you knew about all these quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Dan Marino, John Elway, Joe Montana, Dan Fouts, Johnny Unitas. I'll even go way back to Otto Graham, whose teams won 10 NFL championships in a row. Now, I know they didn't play as many playoff games then. There weren't as many teams, but that guy was unbelievable. So I know I'm not just doing this off the top of my head. I put probably a couple quarterbacks I didn't name. Brett Favre, Peyton Manning. If you were starting a team today and knew everything you knew about them, aside from the winning, what quarterback would you pick to start your team? And I'll bet you could ask some general managers and they'd pick other quarterbacks other than Tom Brady. And I think that's an interesting way of looking at it. And it doesn't mean he's not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, because he will be. There's no doubt about it. but to just automatically say he's the greatest of all time because of Super Bowl rings, I think is folly. I think it's not how you, to me, evaluate individual players. I mean, it was Emmitt Smith has the most passing rushing yards in NFL history. I don't know if he has the most Super Bowl rings. He's got three of them. I'm sure they're probably a running back maybe that has more. But is Emmitt Smith, would you just automatically say he was the greatest running back of all time? A lot of people would name other guys. So I just think that whole pattern that everybody has fallen into with Tom Brady is just not right. And I, like I said, I'm not diminishing his greatness, but I'm just saying it's not automatic that he's the greatest just because he was on teams that won.
And I'm going to follow that up.
Go ahead.
Let me follow up with one thing. Howard, and to your logic, too, you know, we talk about Super Bowls being the criteria and being the difference between the greatest and not the greatest. All you have to do, and this is what I tell people, okay, if you're going to use that as criteria, then Trent Dilfer was better than Dan Marino. Then Stan Humphries was just as good as Marino because they were all each in a Super Bowl, right? So that whole Super Bowl logic, it infuriates me because it's just more than that.
No, it totally is. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, when I did this story in that magazine last year, I should probably put it on my website and just, you know, see if it probably wouldn't even need that much updating. And what I looked at Tom Brady and some of the Super Bowl wins. And in some of those games, he was just ordinary. I mean, there's a couple games his passer rating was like in the low 70s in the Super Bowls. And the reality is, in two of the ones they lost, when they were playing a great defense in the Giants, and everyone talks about Eli Manning, and boy, in a few years that's going to be a hell of a debate when Eli Manning comes up Hall of Fame eligible, and people point, oh, he won two Super Bowls. Well, no, he didn't win two Super Bowls. Yes, he made a couple of great plays in the two Super Bowl wins, but the Giants won those games because of their defense shutting down the New England offense, especially the one with Randy Moss, when the Patriots were undefeated in the regular season, and they were just setting all kinds of records, not only Brady, but Moss. And the Giants shut that offense down in that Super Bowl. And that's, you know, that's what enabled the Giants to even be in the game, to have a chance to win with a couple final drives. So those are the things that aren't looked at. And Brady wasn't very good in those games, and he was, you know, he was great in a lot in others. Certainly, I'm not saying that, but it's just how this blind. It's like everybody's so accustomed to saying it. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. And it just you know, foments itself. I think people are afraid almost to bring up any other debate. Well, I'm not, and that's fine. People can say I'm crazy. That's fine. It wouldn't be the first time I'm called crazy, but that's the way I feel.
Howard, you're not crazy because this coming from a diehard Patriot fan, some people out there would consider Peyton Manning the better quarterback of Tom's generation than Tom himself, because Peyton could just run an offense up and down a field like crazy. The man was a thinking man. The guy was a great quarterback. This is coming from a diehard Patriot fan that couldn't stand him as a player but respected him because he was just that good. So you can't it's got to be an argument because Montana, you name it, there's a ton of quarterbacks that, and you just can't go by wins. I agree with Chips. Trent Dilfer won more than Dan Marino, but he's not even, he can't even hold water to Dan Marino. And
right.
So to have an argument and people don't want to, then they don't know football.
And it's a team. The biggest thing is it's a team sport and teams win. And the thing that drives me the most nuts is when people say, whether it's broadcasters, fans or whatever, about a quarterback, he won or he lost a winning team or part of a losing team. And there's so many things that go into games in terms of who wins and loses, the play here, play there, you know, whatever it might be. And so And then I hear I was in a little Twitter debate with someone about Sean Payton. And says, well, why, you know, why he only won one Super Bowl? And so how many coaches have won more than one? Not a whole lot. And so it's hard to win a Super Bowl. I get the feeling sometimes that these fans out there think it's easy to win a game or win a Super Bowl or to get into the playoffs. Man, it's one of the hardest things in sport to do. Should Jim Kelly be thought of less because they didn't win? They went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row, but didn't win. I mean, obviously the Hall of Fame voters felt he was a Hall of Famer, and that's the bottom line. But yeah, there's so much, and I'm not, you know, I don't want anybody to think that I don't think that winning is important. Obviously it is, but it's a team. It's a team that wins. I mean, you have four, you know, right now you have, 48 guys who dress in a football game, right? Mm-hmm. And virtually all of them, maybe the backup quarterback, will play in the game. Mm-hmm. And 33 of the guys, this is on average now, guys, anywhere between 30 and 33 players will play on special teams. And a lot of them, that's all they play in the game. But those special teams play, is a good one or a bad one, can make the difference. You know, anybody's been debating and talking about for the last few days is the penalty on that Bengals player pushing Patrick Mahomes out of bounds that got them in position to, you know, to kick the game-winning field goal. And yeah, you got to talk about that play. But how many people have talked about the Bengals collapse on the punt return?
Yep.
That Sky Moore returned 29 yards from the 18-yard line and gave them even a chance to get into field goal range. No one's even talking about that. But those are the things that turn games. Or, you know, a penalty here, a penalty there, whatever it might be, or a turnover. That's what changes games, and that's what, especially when you have two really good teams playing in the playoffs, That's what determines it. Heck, I remember, I think it was an AFC championship game, maybe it was just a playoff game, when the Chargers were playing the Patriots, and the Chargers were in a tough position all those years with Phillip Rivers, because they'd always lose to the Patriots or the Colts in the postseason. And I think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and I'm wondering what's going to happen when he comes up eligible. But be that as it may, the Chargers are playing the Patriots, and the Chargers had the game won when one of their defensive backs intercepted Tom Brady. Game yep. over. It was over with that interception. But the guy tried to become a hero and return it instead of just going down on the ground, and he fumbled. And the Patriots got the ball back, went down, and I think they kicked the game-winning field goal. And all of a sudden, the Patriots are moving on, and the Chargers aren't. Tom Brady had nothing to do with that. But
yep.
those are the types of things that change games. And yes, quarterbacks are a big part of, you know, games being changed. But there's an awful lot of other things that go on, too, in games that don't involve the quarterback.
I remember that was yesterday.
Howard, final question.
And of course, that one did involve a quarterback because it was Brady who threw the interception. And then there was the play in one of that Giants when Asante Samuel had one of the easiest interceptions
yep.
that he could ever hope to have, and it went right through his hands, and the Giants lived for another play or two, and I believe that was the winning touchdown drive. So crazy, David Tyree's catch. I mean, was that
yep.
Eli Manning? No, it was David Tyree, and that's what eventually led to the Giants winning that game.
Howard, final question. Thank you for the time. You know, you talk about rosters and quarterbacks in the playoffs and what makes a difference, but I want to talk about the NFC Championship game and the Rules Committee. The Competition Committee has some interesting things to talk about in the offseason, and one of them I have to propose to you. With the bad product that it was, do we now, will the NFL consider bringing back the third quarterback rule, or at least expanding rosters to make it at least more competitive game based on what we saw in the NFC Championship game this past Sunday?
I think they should. I think they will talk about it. And you hit on the key thing that they would have to do. And actually, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch talked about that in their end-of-season press conference today. My sense is one of the reasons that they got rid of the rule is because it was hardly ever needed, maybe a handful of times here and there, but a lot of teams didn't even have a third quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, a lot of teams don't have three quarterbacks. Some of them will have a quarterback on the practice squad, but not all do if they only have two quarterbacks on the roster. So to me, it's a twofold thing that has to be done. Make it a 54-man roster, and the 54th player has to be a third quarterback. And then it solves two things. It would have a guy available in the situation that happened Sunday. It would also be a good way of developing young quarterbacks. Having more of the younger guys, and most of the time that third quarterback is going to be a younger guy, but fine. But have them there all season, practicing, being in meetings, being around the game, being on scout team, whatever it might be. That would help develop some young quarterbacks that never really get much of an opportunity. So I think that would be the way to have that happen. And then you have to have a third quarterback, and then they're dressed for the game. And if you want to put in the rule that they can only play if the other two guys get hurt or whatever it might be, that's up to them. But if he's the 54th guy, just have him out there, and you can play him at any time, whenever you feel like it. And you don't have to have these little, gadgets about when the guy can play and when he can't and all that. And then if he comes in, the other two guys can't come back. I mean, I don't know what the point of all that is.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it that way. And then the bottom line is, if it's a young quarterback, that's another salary. Come on. It would be minimum salary. If it's a rookie or a first-year guy, it's going to be like, $700,000. Now, I know to all of us that's a lot of money, but the NFL, $700,000 is – I mean, I know this past year, $660 was the rookie minimum. So I'm not sure what the rookie minimum is for 2023, but it'll probably be close to $700,000. Maybe it'll be even over it. But that's what all the rookies will make on their rookie contract. So another $600,000 added to this, and then if you want to do that, raise the salary cap $500,000.
Yep.
Right, or $750,000. Raise the salary cap to account for that third quarterback. Bingo. To me, it would make sense. And if you never have to use it, great. But it would also be an opportunity, guys. If you're in a blowout in week 8, you're getting your brains blown out or whatever, put in the young quarterback. Let him get some snaps, in a game. And that would be a plus, I think, for football in general. And like I said, Mike Shanahan and – not Mike, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch addressed that today. And one of them, I forget which one, mentioned that about having – he didn't say it specifically, but of having that guy on the roster and forcing teams to do it. That would be the way of the solution. So I'm sure the 49ers will probably put in the rule request to the competition committee, which means that it will definitely get discussed in the competition committee. And to me, it would be surprising if they don't at least bring it to the full ownership in March, which, by the way, the league meetings are also here in Phoenix in March. So looking forward to that. But, yeah, I hope they do it. I think it would make all the sense in the world for the variety of reasons that I just pointed out.
And Howard, just based on the optic, that was almost a bad watch in the second half of that game.
It was.
Kudos to the difference of the defense, but just the aesthetic of it all. This is a championship game in the NFL. One of these teams is going to the Super Bowl, and that was almost unwatchable, at least for me.
It was. It was because everybody in the world knew that Brock Purdy, unless he threw a little 5-yard screen or something, he was going to be handing the ball off every play. Because he couldn't throw once Josh Johnson got hurt, and that's another aspect of it too. I mean, with the way they have these rules now, where a guy's taken off the field on basically anything that even looks like a concussion, I mean, a lot of times that's where quarterbacks suffer concussions is when they're sacked or they go down and their head hits the ground, and so that's another reason to support the change. Because there could be more instances where it happens. Who knows? It could happen. You had those games with Tua. This season could have easily happened to their next quarterback, and all of a sudden, boom! Where are they? I don't know if they had a third guy, but just make sure they do.
Howard, always a pleasure. Howard, for the NFL and the Arizona Cardinals for Phoenix Sports. He's a Hall of Fame selector as well. Basically Hall of Fame on Sirius. And you'll follow him on Twitter at ABALZER71. Again, Howard, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. Look forward to speaking with you next week.
All right, guys, take care. Look forward to it. Take care.
Thank you, Howard.
That's Howard. If you can, go to Phoenix Sports. It's always a good read. I'll try the old school show each and every Wednesday, probably for about two more Wednesdays. But let's bring in the third person rule exists on the old school show. And join Jay. Welcome to the show, man. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. And PT is done for the day. I am back. And great stuff with Howard. I love that conversation on that third quarterback because, man, if you want to talk common sense, Howard Balls has just laid it right out for you. NFL, you don't even have to change anything. You did it to the letter of what you should do. Good stuff, guys.
Exactly. Good to talk to you, Joe. And you're right, JC. And like you said, with the seasons longer now, the grind there, it's just, to me, this is a no-brainer for the NFL, Joe, to institute this third quarterback rule, even if it's during the season, but especially during the playoffs, because that was, like I said, that was a very boring second half in that game, Joe, in the NFC Championship game on Sunday.
That was ugly and unwatchable is correct because it's just like, all right, you're going to hand it off or you're going to screen pass. So they loaded up the box. What were you going to do? It's like, okay, we're going to load the box because you know you can't throw the ball. The guy needs Tommy John surgery. The guy had – and so get a third quarterback. It's pennies on a dollar for the NFL. Just get a third quarterback. Have him sit there. And Howard made a good point. Week 8, you're getting your butt handed to you. Hey, mm-hmm. All the young kids there. See what he's going to do. It doesn't can't hurt, that's for sure. It actually might help the team in the long run.
John Crow joins us here on the Going Old School show with Joe Ferrand, and we thank Howard Balzer. Lou, we've got a moment because I want to address John a question about that game. JC, Kyle Shanahan, in your opinion, I know it was quarterbackless, but if you want to empty a playbook and do whatever you can, whether you have to line up different formations, again, the term empty the playbook was a textbook game to do that. Do you think Shanahan did his due diligence by doing anything he could have or maybe left some things unnoticed or unscathed? Kind of just didn't go deep into his bag of tricks when he could have?
Yeah, I think, you know, he just didn't say, hey, he's supposed to be, as you said, this offensive guru, has an answer for anything. Kind of like, you know, I kind of liken it to, okay, let me put Andy Reid in that same situation. And I guarantee you that, listen, the outcome's probably not going to be different. You know, they're probably still going to lose the game. But it's the way you get to that, you know, I think we're much different. And it's another big spot where Kyle Shanahan doesn't have the correct answers to the test, much like he was in the OC of the Falcons, 28-3, had the wrong answers there. Last year, NFC Championship game, didn't happen this year. And it just, you know, it just at some point he's going to have to go beyond that. And let's think big picture. Is there a quarterback that's been on his roster that hasn't been hurt?
Yep.
I mean, you have to look at how he's protecting and how he's devising his schemes. You want to think as five wide a lot and send them all out. You have to be able to protect your quarterbacks at some point. I mean, everybody who's gone in, Lance, Garoppolo, Purdy, Johnson, you, me, Joe, we're all getting knocked down. And when you got a backup tight end, oh, my God, going against that dominant Philly rush. And what I feel bad for is that 49ers defense, they held the Eagles to 269 yards for a team that was leading the way with over 400 yards a game. But yet, no one's ever going to look at it. They gave up 31 points because they were out there every freaking minute because they had no offense. And, you know, you got to look big picture. And what I loved about what Howard said, it's not just about this emergency situation because, again, how many times is it going to happen? But he took two things. He looked at the safety because of what you're doing with quarterbacks getting being hit, and then look at their safety being taken out of the game to make sure they're protected. And then to the development of these quarterbacks. That's going to go a long way if they can be on the sideline each and every week, be in the meeting rooms, be part of the game plan, not just be a scout team. Because, honestly, that's what Johnson was this week. He was on the scout team, and he looked like a deer in headlights when he got out there, can't even handle the snap. So it's just disappointing. You know, I think when you look at both games this weekend, it just left you hanging with a little bit more, the quarterback situation in the NFC, and then a dumb play for a penalty at the end of the Chiefs game where you wanted to see it just the two teams, the Chiefs and the Bengals, go at it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, congrats to your Chiefs. Going back to the Super Bowl.
Hey, it means something. Joe, you want to follow that up with JC, and we'll talk about that, and then you can bring Lou in, and we'll speak with Lou and get his opinion.
I'm with JC. It's like you just common sense of the NFL, and oh wait, hold off. That play didn't count. Listen, we got to replay it. Oh, sorry, had to throw that in there because didn't affect the game, but you had two championship games, and the quality of the NFL officials couldn't have stood out any further, like a sore thumb on some plays. And I'm like, it's been a sore thumb all year long. When are they going to clean it up? When are the NFL going to clean themselves up? You missed an obvious call that should have been on the Eagles on the incomplete pass, but you called it. Because they wouldn't have scored on that first drive. They would have, the 49ers would have taken over. A lot of things. Look, Howard is right. You need a third quarterback for the safety of the league. Put a third quarterback. What's it going to take? How hard is it to get another quarterback on your practice squad, just have them out there ready to go? So, I mean, hey, what can you do? You move on.
And that's another indictment on Kyle Shanahan. How do you, in a championship game, how do you not know if that's a catch or not? Who's communicating? But again, JC, and we'll bring in Lou, but JC, we'll get out into that because that's just another notch in the missing the play and just not being in the moment for Kyle Shanahan. And you know what? You talk about trends, and they can become habits, and we'll get into that after. But let's bring in Lou, who's been on hold. Lou, what's your thoughts on championship weekend and how you doing there?
Well, let's see. We had one great game, and then we had the Eagles 49ers. That should sum up right there. Oh boy. Luckily, I did not see that first game because if I did, I would have been like, "What happened here?" I mean, I was just going to see two great games, and we only got one, which the second game turned to be better. Mm-hmm. As for the third quarterback situation, yeah, I think you're going to need it to avoid what happened in the AFC Championship game. I mean, you had to have Brock come back in, was injured, which didn't make any sense at all. So the game turned to be a total train wreck for the 49ers, and that is not how it should be played, especially in a championship game. I think I agree with your partners that something needs to be done. Put in the third quarterback. What have you got to lose?
Joe.
Lou, so you didn't watch the first game, but second game. So how entertaining? I know you're an NFC fan. How entertaining was that second game for you? Seeing that, should you put a Superman cape on Patrick Mahomes, who had no wide receivers to speak of at the end, and the man was hobbling around?
Yeah, I mean that turned to be the much better game, even though he was playing injured. I mean, he did everything he could, and With Travis Kelce, that made it, I gave it a clinch right there. I knew it was going to be a better game, though, despite the fact, of the injuries. I mean, they can't see the offense is just too good. So, it came down right to the wire. But it was a game I thought was, that's what I expected to go right down. I totally expected this in the second game. I expected the first game, and we got anything but.
Lou, what's on the show this weekend? Any Pro Bowl talk, or what should I say, the Pro Bowl games?
Unfortunately, yes.
The Hunger Games?
Unfortunately, yes, we will cover the Pro Bowl. Those who are interested, oh boy, we'll cover both the AFC Championship games, one we're benching and one not. Oh boy. We'll even tackle the cover the NHL All-Star game because that'll be going on as the show airs. Oh dear. Oh well. We'll also have some interesting baseball news. Oh yeah, and one thing I forgot to cover last week, the NFL postseason award nominees. I forgot to cover that last week, but hey, I mean, it's still football season, so I think it's still relevant. I'll run down the complete list. And any other developments that come along, Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The number is 512-543-4662. Don't forget now, we're also on YouTube. Oh, boy. That's going to be interesting. That's right, guys. I'm on television now. Oh, boy. Yikes.
So much for that. So much for that good faith for online radio, buddy.
Yeah. With a face only a mother could love.
That's right, baby. Lou, always appreciate the time, man. Take care and enjoy your week.
Thanks,
Lou.
That's Lou from New Jersey. John Crow, Johnny Sentrips here. We got the three-headed monster, if you will, on the Going Old School show. It is Wednesday, February 1st, 2023, 7:46 Eastern Time. Crow and Joe here for you on blogtalkreader.com. JC, I want to start with you because I want to get into the AFC Championship game. Thank you, Mike Hilton. Thank you, Eli Apple. Because we talked about it. That was a pissed-off team. You pissed off that Chiefs team. And they showed here's the week-to-week game, guys. We looked at that offensive line for the Bengals against the Bills, and we said, wow, they played pretty well. A week later, they were exposed, and the Chiefs took advantage of that. Number 95 did it, JC. But talk about that game. And, again, Patrick Mahomes' legacy changed even a little bit more with what he did, a hobbled leg. But that was a hell of an effort by the KC team. A little biased here, but a pissed-off team that lost players during the game really sucked it up, and that was a full team effort.
Yeah, I mean, you look at your Chiefs, and, you know, previously they looked at as a finesse team. And what you've seen this year is a little grit. There's a little getting down and dirty, you know, a little dirt dogs to them. Great. I mean, you talk about that rookie class with Moore and Williams and everyone stepping up when you had to have it. It begins in pregame. You don't know if Kelsey's going to go with the back. Tries it out. He goes. Mahomes obviously goes. But when you needed it the most, I mean, you look at that last drive. Williams makes the block. Moore gets it to midfield, gives him the opportunity. That's all you're looking for at that point is the opportunity. And I think you're going to have it for the next 2 weeks because all national media, well, the Chiefs just have Mahomes, but the Eagles are the better team. Well, you know what? Keep feeding that, because you know what? If you keep feeding that, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to come home with another Super Bowl title because they have that intangible this year, Chiefs. The Chiefs are just, you know, doesn't matter the situation. We've seen it time and time again this season where you think, this is going to be the week. This is the week that they're going to miss everybody. Nope, doesn't happen. They step up. Chris Jones said, hey, I need to step up. Boom, he does it. And when you look at that Cincinnati team, they just seem to walk into that game a little entitled, didn't they?
Yep.
It just seemed that they, you know, they thought they were going to come into Burrowhead Stadium. And, yes, did the Chiefs knock that up, an extra level? Sure they did. Take the blueprint right from Rodney Harrison going into Pittsburgh with no respect us.
Yep.
Take anything at this time of year to boost you up, whatever you have to do to get you to that next level, and kudos to Kansas City because they did it. It worked. And now you give Andy Reid going against Philadelphia, his old team, with 2 weeks back on the stage trying to get that bitter taste against Tampa Bay. Yeah. This one's going to be fun. This one's going to be real fun, Joe.
Yeah, no, look, Kansas City, you know they were chomping at the bits because, wait, at the end of the game, Kelsey coming over, live TV. Ah, Bowhead Stadium, my ass. And it's like, they were not happy. And then, you know, then, look, Mahomes took a subtle dig at Joe Burrow. He's like, no, I'd celebrate over here with cigars, but I think we're fresh out of cigars, so I just gotta go over here and celebrate anyways. And it's like, you know, we're just subtle digs at the Cincinnati Bengals. Look, it's not cocky if you can back it up. Well, now it's cocky because you couldn't back it up because you had a team on the ropes. They had no wide receivers to speak of. He had a quarterback hobbled around. You had him right where you wanted him, and you couldn't get the job done. If you can't get the job done, then stop talking. And it's like, you know what? You should have put him away while you could. You couldn't. So go home, suck it up, and figure out what you're going to do next year, because you're going to be watching like everybody else, the Kansas City Chiefs, playing in the Super Bowl, because your head's got a little bit too swollen, and you forgot there was a job at hand to take care of. You finish the job first, then you do some more talking. So they got what they deserved. It's unfortunate that it ended on that play, but you know what? Next time a quarterback's near the edge, near the end, near the out of bounds, leave him alone. What are you hitting him for? You know they're gonna throw a flag if he's got both feet out of bounds. It's like it's going to happen. Can't blame anybody but yourself on that. And it's like, you know. So, hey, look, it should be a good game. And the Eagles you can't say what the Eagles would have done, because what would have happened, it was a 7-point game when this all started and they had no quarterback. So if there was a quarterback, any kind of quarterback that could have played for the 49ers with the threat of a pass, that was a whole different game, because the 49ers defense played well, played excellent to speak of. And they just, hey, they got frustrated at the end because, wait, they were out there and they knew the offense wasn't going to score any points. So it's like, this ought to be a good, good Super Bowl.
Joe Burrow, we've talked a lot about it on the show, JC and Joe. And I agree with some of the comparisons, the poise, the confidence level that he has on the field and even off is very reminiscent of what we saw from Tom Brady, especially during not the early years, because he was still that kid and he still learned. Once he got going, we saw a confident guy back in the pocket for the Patriots and to a lesser extent maybe for the Buccaneers. But Burroughs has the same Achilles heel as Brady did. You pressure him up the middle and it gets to him. And, JC, we talked about it. The magic number, quarterback sacks, 5. The Chiefs hit that and he lost again. So if you're looking at Burrow, and every quarterback, every player has maybe their little albatross, if you will. And I think we know what Joe Burrow has now, because we see it time and time again. You pressure him up the middle, you sack him 5 times, and he's going to lose more than he's going to win.
Yeah, no question. We've seen it with Tom Brady. 23 years, that was his kryptonite, and everyone knew the blueprint. It's just if you could execute it or not. And when you look at the Bengals, 2 big things that really, really just annoyed me. One, using Mixon and Perine. Joe Mixon only had 23 snaps in that game.
Yep.
Perine had 43 offensively and then another 10 special teams. But, man, Mixon's got to have more than 8 carries for 19 yards. He's got to have more touches than that. And it leads me to the second point about the Bengals. Late in that fourth quarter, tied at 20-20, they pick up 7 on first down. 2nd and 3, you're chucking it deep. Doesn't work. 3rd and 3, you're chucking it deep. That, to me, is a team that says, listen, I completed on 4th and 6 to chase to tie the game. But, they got them down and then let's a touchdown to tie the game. But it just seems like, man, Zach Taylor's got to look at it and say, I got to move the chains. I got to move the chains. If it results in a field goal, great. But I got to get the first down. It's great to want to chuck it up to Chase and to Higgins. But, man, I thought they really missed an opportunity, especially when you have Mahomes on the other side, because it just never seems to work out for you. And then again, we saw it last year with Buffalo not knowing how to kick. Cost them 13 seconds. Boom. We all know how that ended. And then again, the punt to Moore. You're kicking it in the middle of the field, giving him options. How in the hell are you not kicking that towards the sidelines, trying to surround him? I know that they wanted, I guess they explained afterwards, well, we thought if we kicked it in the middle of the field, Moore would drop it. You can't drop it on the sideline, too? So I just thought Zach Taylor just wasn't, just like we said, Kyle Shanahan on the other side, you know, in the NFC, just wasn't up to snuff. And his team reflected that. You got to be all in. You got to be all in these pressure situations, right? And I don't know, it just seemed in those big situations, you know, they were there last year. They weren't there this year. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know where your Cincinnati goes, because now it's money time. It's money time with Higgins. It's money time with Joe Burrow. And, you know, where do you think it goes for Cincinnati, Joe?
I'd like to say they're smart enough to spend the money wisely to get Burrow, get Higgins, get everybody under contract. I mean, you're going to lose a few players here and there. That's going to happen at the normal rotation of a championship team, or at least a team that gets to the AFC championship. You're going to lose some players that are going to cash in their checks. Sign, look, they get signed, make sure that the receivers and the quarterback stay there. Now, the question next year is going to be P. Ryan or Mixon. One of them is probably going to go. And you would think Mixon's probably on his way out, only because money-wise, the money's saved. And they got P. Ryan already. So, you know, they'll try to probably save money there. But just to your point of, you know, Burrow's with the pressure in the middle. Patrick Mahomes, what happened to him in the last Super Bowl? He didn't win. He ran how many miles? Because he was under constant pressure. Just prove positive. Doesn't matter how good of a quarterback you are, how great of a quarterback you are. You make the guy run around forever. It's going to be a long day. And it's like they're probably not going to get the job done. So your pass rush is everything. And I said that since his defense wasn't as good as it, you know, Eli Apple, never been a fan of his. If they get a chance a little more, he can be replaced. This guy's, because you know what? You can mouth off as much as you want. You better stop backing up on the defensive side. The offensive side was backing up. Defense, the offense bailed you out a lot this year. So I'd like to see them back. They make the right moves. Only time will tell.
The thing with the Brown family is this may be the first time they're really going to have to empty their pockets. And that's what we haven't seen from them. They've had times in the past, and they got away with it too. But now they're going to have to spend and spend big. With an all-world quarterback, receivers, Nixon. I mean, you got to, and you got players on the offensive line. A couple of rookies they drafted, even on defense. They have a lot of players that are core players and really skilled players at their respective positions. They're going to lose a little, Joe, but this is uncharted territory, in my opinion, for the Browns. How are they going to do it wisely, JC? And that's what they're facing next year and the year after, because. It's all said and done. You want to keep this run going? You got to pony some big bucks, and you got to do it wisely.
Yeah, there's no question. It's easy in the NFL to be the hunter. It's awful hard to be the hunted and stay atop that. The Chiefs have been able to do it. The Patriots before them were able to do it. I'm not so sure that Cincinnati is ready and willing to do it.
Yeah, you would hope they're willing to do it because you're hoping that the Brown family got a taste of winning, at least getting it to the championship game. You would like to see them like the taste and be willing to spend the money. Only, like I said, we'll see how they feel about it going into the off season. But I sure as hell hope they are willing to spend the money.
And before we move on to Tom Brady and later some WWE with the guys, I do want to ask you something, because the NFC Championship and the Eagles, there's not much I can take away from that performance because of the incompletion on the San Francisco 49ers part in a championship game. I don't know what to expect from the Eagles. They beat the Giants, a team they should have beaten, and they did it handily, and they performed well defensively, and I'll argue maybe not as good as I thought offensively against a good defense. But Hey, JC, I'm a little incomplete on where I stand with the Eagles and what I take away from that championship game Sunday and moving on to the Super Bowl coming up the 12th of February.
Yeah, no question. And if that, you know, bear that out. Philadelphia, the easiest schedule according to the DVOA, defense is valued. You know, you can only play who you play, right?
Yep.
So you can't determine the situations and who you play against and how they're going to play and whatever. So, you know, if you're a Philly fan, you ride it. You ride it and say, hey, we are this damn good. And the thing for them is you look at them and they just dominate on both sides of the ball. Offensively, Jalen Hurts did not have one pressure. Zero. Zero sacks. I think five maybe for the playoffs. It's crazy. On the other side, you're talking about, you know, 75 sacks before the NFC Championship game. They got three more, you know, forced a couple fumbles, a couple turnovers. And they're just a beast, you know. So that's where it's going to start for the Chiefs. Can you combat in the trenches? You know, because we know they figured it out otherwise. We know Mahomes, especially with the 2 weeks. You know, we saw him late in that game with the cold and the pounding he took on that ankle. It was getting to him, but he was still able to make the play there at the end. With 2 weeks, rehab, all that good stuff, he'll be fine. Can he surround? You know, can he bring that elusiveness back into the game that we didn't see against the Bengals? Because if he can, then you get the Eagles on their heels a little bit. It'll be very interesting to see, you know, and I wonder because, you know, I know here in New England, we hear high ankle sprain and we look back and we see Mac Jones 4 weeks. We see Patrick Mahomes, a couple plays in the second quarter of the divisional round, and yeah. Then, you know, he leads his team back in the Super Bowl. So, you know, you just wonder the severity, and I love the fact that the Chiefs don't disclose any of that because, you know what, none of our damn business. You put him on the injury report. You tell us what he participates in, and you leave it at that. You don't need to go anything more than that, which is great. So, I you know, we used to love the 2 weeks, going to the Super Bowl, being in the cities when we're at the score.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about. And now you have a game with the Eagles and the Chiefs, the two best teams in the league, bar none. They deserve to be there. They're going to go at it. And I love it. And I tell my oldest kid, loves Rihanna, get me out of the halftime. I have no interest. Give me the game. I just wish it was this Sunday because otherwise, you know, Derek Carr and, you know, everybody else in the NFL behind the scenes is making the Pro Bowl.
Oh, my God. Tyler Huntley, there you go. Pro Bowl.
Tyler Huntley.
You know what's going to make the difference in this game is what the Eagles have been overlooked all year long is their run defense. It hasn't been so great. Pacheco has run and has run angry with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have a running game this year. They've established a running game. Some tells me they're going to establish a good running game against the Eagles. But the Eagles aren't that great against the run. They've been run on all year long, and it's like, yeah, granted, most of the time they get a lead so they can pin their ears back at the quarterback. It's not going to happen this time because it's like I think Mahomes will be at least 90% healthy, and they'll be fine. And just, you know, look, if that was a regular season game, I guarantee you, probably guarantee you that Mahomes sitting there, helmet off, watching the game because it's like didn't need to be playing. If he didn't have to play, he wouldn't have played. But because it's a championship game, you were not going to keep that guy off the field. I don't care. You would have had to strap him down in a straitjacket to keep Patrick Mahomes off that field. As hobbled as he was, he would have needed a straitjacket to not play. Because he's tough as nails. But if that's a regular season, they probably sit him down, take a game off, because you know what? It wouldn't have hurt. And he'll be fine in 2 weeks. So now we'll get all the talk, and you'll get all the rhetoric, and then you'll get the Tuesday media day, which is just a circus in itself. And yeah, can we please take the halftime out of it, please? Can we just, like, you know, don't have to watch it? I mean, I've never been a halftime fan anyways, but man, it's part of the hype, and it's part of the millions and millions of dollars that the NFL plans on making on Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, I do have to say, when Jennifer Lopez and Shakira perform at halftime, I'm watching it, and it happened a few years ago. Sorry, dudes. That's me right there.
Oh, I'm with you there.
Oh, my God, that was, you talk about softcore pornography. My goodness gracious, it just carried on the adrenaline didn't die at halftime where it could be a long halftime. It just kept going, and in some places escalated, and I'll leave it at that. But sometimes halftime can be good, right?
You have a smartphone, right? I said, why do you need the NFL halftime? You do have a smartphone, right? I'll leave it at that.
There you go. Jeez. Here we go. Anyway, guys, we'll talk a lot about the Super Bowl with the build-up because breaking news this morning, again, JC, he called it quits. This time it's quote-unquote for good. I'm not buying it. I'll tell you why, but I want to get your thoughts. And it is all Tom Brady on the NFL Network beginning after that, but your thoughts on what we saw this morning on his Instagram feed and his social media, and TB12 has called it a career again.
Couldn't we all just say we tweeted 1 year ago today, just retweet that stuff? Because,
yep.
Again, 1 year to the day, and there are two things that stood out to me. I mean, one, why did you got to start the video with a lie? I woke up this morning and I decided to do this video. No, you didn't. You were in LA last night at a movie premiere.
Right.
You
were recorded.
I mean, come on, stop that. Just, you know, just say you had this recorded for weeks now and you put it out today. That's fine. And two, Brady's the master of getting his positive media blitz. He needs it for this Friday for the movie 80 for Brady. So what better way to get your way back in there for the 72-hour news cycle than by retiring? This has been in the works for a while. Sure it has. And do I think he's going to entertain calls come August, come mid-season when somebody needs a quarterback? Absolutely. Because I see Tom Brady being bored with TV, may not be that good at it. But you know what? It is what it is. The man's the GOAT. I loved him for 20 years, what he did for the Patriots in the New England area. I did not root for him when he was in Tampa. Just the way it is. Doesn't mean I don't respect him. The greatest of all time. The question now is, for a Patriots fan, do you want to see number 12 retired in New England? Do you want to see a statue out there? And how do you want him to be honored? Do you want a simple 9-minute ceremony at halftime of X game in the 2023 season? No, I don't. What I want is I want the Larry Bird treatment. Is I want a full-blown night on his own, maybe the Saturday night before he does a Fox game in New England. Open it up, Gillette Stadium, boom. I don't care if you want to charge for it. Make it for Brady's charity. Do whatever you got to do. But the man deserves a full-blown ceremony, a couple of hours, buddies busting him up, yep. And us getting to feel what we've missed for the last couple of years here in New England. Do I think the Patriots will do it like that? Probably not. But it would be nice to see.
I think the Patriots would. I don't think Tom would do it. The question is, Tom, nothing better than having Eli sit there and say, and David Tyree, come on, Tom, come on, how was it? You know, and just, you know, have some fun with him. And whether Tom would be into it or not is a good question. But what I'm thinking of Tom when he's in the booth is the back to school where, like, Mellon, we need you. Come on, Mellon, we need you. And Tom's on my roster. Yeah, I just forgot it in the locker room. Yeah, he's on our roster and coming down and suiting up and playing because, you know, that's all I can think of is, like, he'll want to play. He'll get that itch. They all get the itch to want to play. The guy proved this year he still can throw. He still got the arm. And so why he's doing it, I'm like you, JC. He was in L.A. He's like, you know, I woke up and said, nah, it's the Florida coast there. You had this, and you just happened to put it out today. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll believe it in September when it happens. For now, he's retired, but until the right team comes calling, he'll stay retired. And if he finds the right situation for himself, then he might unretire, but we'll see. Only time will tell.
JC, that's a great point about the Larry Bird treatment. An off night, no game, nothing before a game. It's just his night. And I think if they do that and you have all his expatriate teammates call, I think they convince Tom to do it. I'm not too sure. I think, the Patriots would do it, at least not totally have a Tom Brady night. If I think what they would do, if they did it at all, would be to have it a night before a game or a night before a ceremony or a night prior, or it's something leading into something else, which I think would be disingenuous and just not worthy of what he meant as a Patriot. Because when it's all said and done, you kind of, it's all under the rug. You let bygones be bygones and you move on with life. And hopefully they're starting to do that. And I think we will now, but I can see him. And the big thing for Brady now is, guys, I mean, he's 45 years old. I'm assuming he played football for 35 of those years, give or take. Competitive. So those routines, athletes are creatures of habit. And I'll argue football players maybe more so because it's a routine and it's a 365-day season. That's going to be his toughest problem. Not moving to the booth, because I don't think he's going to do well there, and I'm not sure his ego is going to handle it, because he's just not that type of guy, my opinion. But what he's going to have trouble now is when those competitive juices start knocking. He doesn't have a marriage. He doesn't have a wife. That he's good to go to. His kids are a little older. And I have older kids, and usually when you're a parent, when the kids get older, you tend to be able to move on and do things that you want to do even more so. And it's not disrespecting your kids. It just frees you up a little bit because children grow up, and the process of life, they kind of go out on their own. The umbilical cord is stretched out and maybe cut in some places. It's going to be his toughest challenge to able to withstand and to kind of turn off competitive juices that have been a part of his life for so long. And all it takes is a little more, and a call from the Dolphins or the Niners, be it preseason, be it August, like you said, be it at, you know, halfway through the year, that's when it's really going to hit home. And I just don't think he's going to be able to withstand that because he still can play the game at a high level.
Yeah, no question. What he does have is he does have a hot new girlfriend, reportedly. If you read the TMZ and all those dirt sheets. So that will keep him entertained for a few weeks. But you're right. You're absolutely right. It's when you have older kids, and you know, hopefully he'll take that time. You know, his older Jack is what, 16 now. He's playing football, so maybe you take that time to go see, be more involved in, you know, his athletics. And then the younger kids down in Miami, you know, reportedly looking at a private school last week. So, you know, there'll be plenty of things for him to do. And when you look at Brady, you know, he's always got that work ethic. So he'll work hard and he'll be prepared for the booth. There's no question about that. It's just in the moment when he has to make that critical call, is he able to criticize players he was just on the field with, former teammates, former coaches? Is he able to do that? You know, that's what Collinsworth can do it.
Yep.
Romo was able to do it until he became soft this year. He just, you know, he got the $17 million contract and just, you know, went off the deep end.
Yep.
But the analysts that we like, the Collinsworth, the Aikman, they're able to separate and tell you what guys are doing right and what they're doing wrong. And also, you know, we saw with Jerry Remy in the Red Sox booth, able to predict what things are going to happen and what you have to look out for. I don't know if he's going to be able to or want to criticize. So it'll be interesting. We're going to see him on the Fox pregame show. There's no question about that.
Yep.
But you won't see him in a booth, which I'm happy for Greg Olsen. He gets to call a Super Bowl. He's been very good the last couple of years. In his first year with Kevin Burkhart as the number one team of Fox, I hope they work it out so he can somehow stay there, because he's been very good, very entertaining. And you look at that game the other day, when you basically had an entire hat to fill with stuff, I wonder if Brady can do that and just fill with stuff, because you have to get really personal when you're filling those times and rely on those stories.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting. The other thing I wanted to ask you guys about, and it just kind of made it fly, you know, flew under the radar today. The Dolphins announced that Tagovailoa is out of concussion protocol. It's amazing how that happens on the day that Tom Brady retires, that it just magically disappears from itself.
Yep.
Coincidence, or just?
No, I heard about it. I seen it. I heard it's like, you know, odd coincidence that you discuss it later in the day after Tom retires first thing in the morning that, oh, by the way, yeah, Tua's out of concussion protocol today. When did he actually get out, and when did you find out? Because it's like weird coincidence that on the same day that Tom retires, you know, that it comes out. So they'll never tell you. You'll never find out of where these teams are, what they're thinking. So, you know, and I hope Tua can play next year and doesn't get hurt at all and plays 17 games next year. One hopes. We will find out. And as far as Tom, I would love to be that one day where Tom criticizes Bill and Bill's play calling in the booth. That would be music to my ears if he could criticize him, criticize any of his ex-coaches, criticize the players. I would love to hear him criticize Aaron Rodgers for not doing something on the field. That would be a classic. Will he do it? Can he do it? Let's see.
Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you on the Going Old School show, Wednesday, February 1st, pre-Groundhog Day Eve, if you will, when we're talking about Tom Brady. JC, good point. Miami has a quarterback conundrum, regardless of the health of Tua, because we know, or we don't know, but I'm of the opinion that his career has been shortened. Just based on what he's been through this year, you can't bank on him for a extended period of time, be it 5, 6, 7 years. You just can't do it. Not only is he game to game, he's year to year. And if the Dolphins do not address this quarterback needed in the offseason, to me, I'm convinced there is a wink, wink, nod, nod to Tom Brady. We're going to call on you at some point in the 2023 season. Sit there, keep your diet, go your TB12 workout, and we'll call on you when you need you. I am convinced of that. If the Dolphins don't address it, he's as good as being a Dolphin at some point next year.
It's a great call, Chips. I wholeheartedly agree with you. You know, and maybe there's a little, you know, behind the scenes dealing with Mr. Ross, his Michigan buddy, that, yeah, maybe we'll cut you in for a little bit of the team, but, you know, we can always slide you and delay that a little bit if we need you next year because, you know, putting you there would take a little pressure. Maybe he could learn a little bit, Mr. Tua. So I'm with you. It sounds, you know, sinister at this point because, you know, Tom Brady's only been retired for, you know, 12-plus hours again. But, hey, let us wait the requisite 40 days, see if it sticks, and we'll move forward this time. But it would be interesting. And when we talk about, you know, Brady being honored, you know, I'd love to get into Mac Jones's head through all this. And, you know, does he want to see a Brady, you know, salute where he has to sit there and watch it and have more, you know, more criticism, more comparison? You know, it's just more, you know, food for the fodder as we head towards 2023 season. But, Chips, I got to ask you, how are you feeling, you know, facing the Eagles in Super Bowl 57?
I feel pretty good just based on, well, first I like the matchup. I like the Eagles. Obviously, it's going to be a good matchup. But it tells you how great a coach Andrew is. Because not only is he in his fifth championship game with Kansas City in a row, he took the team that he's facing to four straight back some years ago with quarterback. I didn't think it was a real good one in Donovan McNabb. So that tells you what Andy Reid is and how good a coach he is. And maybe I think underrated. The matchup I like. If the Chiefs are healthy and I think they found something team-wise, I think they match up really well. 10 different receivers caught balls from Patrick Mahomes. A total number. Andy Reid instills confidence. You mentioned Sky Moore. Sky Moore was bandied to bogeyland because he was – He was just not a great special. He caught two games earlier in the year with his special teams exploits, and he had enough confidence to show him that. I'm feeling confident going this way in. It could change, but right now I'm leaning Chiefs in a game, and I'm not being biased because I can pick them to lose. But the Eagles didn't show me anything going into it, and I think their offense can be had by the Chiefs' defense. I really do. But we're going to break that down next week. But, gentlemen, you guys are the wrestling gurus. I told you, and I promise he talks some wrestling. Joe, I'm going to start with you. And JC, follow it up, because I know you post a lot on your social media. Royal Rumble leading into what we saw on Monday Night Raw. Where's the state of the WWE going into WrestleMania as we approach that?
That was a nice tease, Monday Night Raw, where they just showed Sami Zayn hitting Roman Reigns and said, oh, you can listen to it Friday and see what happens Friday. Love that tease, because now they're going to separate Raw from SmackDown with the Usos and let everything happen, I guess, on SmackDown. I like where they went with Cody Rhodes, and it's like, you know, why they even said that Dominic Rhodes, why they went that road of Dominic Rhodes was supposed to win the Royal Rumble. He couldn't win the Royal Rumble. It was an all high school Royal Rumble. Never mind a real Royal Rumble. So I like where they're going with that one. I love Rhea Ripley going out there by herself and relating to the fans again. I mean, she's still a heel, but they showed the softer side of her when she went out there to challenge Charlotte Flair. I mean, I like some of the storylines that are going on. I love Triple H and how he's going about it. Look, it took months and months and months, but that culmination of Sami Zayn going face shows that if you work on it and you work on a storyline enough and stick with it, you're going to get one hell of a pop.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Joe. And it's the layers of that storyline, you know. And now you've got it left where middle of the ring, Kevin Owens handcuffed to the ropes, Sami Zayn left out of a bloodline. But it's superseded by Jey Uso leaving the ring, making it appear that he's walking away from the bloodline as well, which I ain't buying any of that. I think we're going to see an elimination chamber. Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns in Montreal, the hometown of one KO in Sami Zayn. And I think you're going to see the Usos combine back again, knock the hell out of Sami Zayn. KO comes back, and, oh, we've got a wonderful tag team championship match set up for WrestleMania. Usos versus Sami and KO. It's just delicious storyline. It's what it is. It's... you only get these things, you know, every so often that they're that good. And one thing that you can tell when it's a really good storyline, it's 12:15 Sunday morning, the pay-per-view. I'm screaming at my television while my wife and kid are sleeping on the couch. I'm screaming at different points. That's when you know you got me hooked, because – when I can't predict what's next, you got me. And you just say, well done, boys. Well done.
I am with you, JC. I am not buying Jey Uso leaving the bloodline. I'm not buying it one bit. It's like, you know, it makes a good storyline where he'll be tempted, but he won't. The question still remains of, all right, so who's out there to take the championship away from Reigns? Because KO and Zayn, I could buy taking the tag team championships away from the Usos, but there's got to be somebody out there that's going to break this Roman Reigns streak, and there's nobody right now that seems to be able to take the bull by the horns, as they would say, and be able to. Maybe they might split the championships. That would be a way to go, and I don't foresee that not happening, because at some point, if Triple H is as good as he is at the storylines, he's going to want to separate the Raw and SmackDown championships so he can have a champion on each show. I know he likes to cross-promote, but Triple H also likes to have each show have its own identity, and what better way to have its own identity than to have separate champions? That may be a way to go eventually at some point. Look, I have faith in Triple H to be able to do that. So it's good. The one thing they've got to work on, and it showed mightily in the Royal Rumble, is the women's division. You knew only so many people who had a chance of winning. Baszler is going nowhere. They're underutilizing Nia Jax. They underutilize these people to no end. Damage control is good, but they're underutilizing the tag team division again on both sides. So they're just going to work on a women's division, which would be a good thing.
Yeah, what they're going to do with Bianca Belair, I have no idea. That has kind of went off the rails. Flair Ripley, now in front of a crowd, unlike it was in the pandemic, will be off the charts. But I think we got a little tidbit from Cody Rhodes' promo Monday night. He said it was 62 days until he faced Roman Reigns. Well, that lines up to Sunday night, the second night. So if that's your main event and that's how you're going to walk away from WrestleMania, if you're not giving the people Sami Zayn as the guy who knocked down Roman Reigns, you have to have Cody Rhodes walking away with the title that his father could not get. You got to send the people home happy at the end of WrestleMania. The only way it works. You can get Roman Reigns back later. That's easy. But you got to give the people what they want. I think that's how they do it. I think that's why they went that way, because I think Rhodes can be, you know, a better face of the company, while Sammy, it's a hot story, but can you really buy him as the face of the company, like a John Cena, Stone Cold, The Rock, Triple H? I don't think you can, but hey, we've been down that road before. Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston, great moment, but they couldn't last as champion because of that reason. And I think that's where we're going with Cody and Sammy.
But like I said, JC, think about it this way. Okay, so Cody wins. What do you do with Zayn? You actually make him tag team champions, because you haven't had this kind of a oddball champion since the Bro went down and Randy Orton got hurt. So what better way to have a tag team championship of KO and Zayn? That would make a good tag team champion pair. I think it would be good. They'd be almost on the comparison of the New Day and the fans. So you would have fans leaving happy on both days, because then you would have a change of the bloodline as far as tag teams go. And then if you had Cody win, then you would have a change of the championship. So then fans would be happy in both, you know, because then could suddenly give it to the tag team championship to Imperium by beating Sammy and KO in the future, because I think Imperium should be and will be the champions within the next 6 months. They deserve it, because they're just the way their work ethic. Fans are going to get behind them, whether they hate them or like them. Kind of reminds me of the Four Horsemen, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, where you may hate them, but these guys are just technically sound and they make a good tag team.
Gentlemen, that's going to do it. Out of time. Always a pleasure, JC. Always a pleasure, Joe. Joe, appreciate your time. JC, I'm glad to see your PT went well, and keep up the good work, man. Always a pleasure. Thanks again for your time, guys.
Anytime, gentlemen.
Sorry being a lot long-winded on that.
It's good, man. Long-winded
good
is
stuff.
Good.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah, really
right.
Good. Great to talk to you guys. Take care and be safe, guys.
Gentlemen, have a good night.
Thanks to Howard Balzer. Thanks to John Cope. We'll be back again at some point, probably this weekend at some time, some point, give or take. But we'll check us on the social, on our old school Facebook page, and we'll let you know what's going on. But in the meantime, thanks for your time listening there, whether you find live or on replay on one of your podcast channels. Thanks to Howard Balzer. To each and every one of you guys out there, take care, be safe, stay well, and going to get a little cold up here in the north. So bundle up and keep the heat on, baby. Be good. Be safe.